Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning into Slumber Party. I can't. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSFradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, as you've heard from the intro. I'm DJ Goko.
And I'm DJ Star. Hopefully you can all hear us loud and clear right now. We are broadcasting live in the studio today. And I think it's going to be mostly talk episode today, just for fun.
Oh, yeah. I think we have a main topic, but we most likely will branch off from the main topic into lots of subtopics and until we get sick of the sound of our voices and we'll switch to music. So That's the
worst comes to worst
direction. Yeah.
You will be hearing some Jamiroquai for sure.
Oh, yeah. So today, we've already covered this topic before, but wanted to revisit it because it was also never posted to the website, so might as well bring out the same some of the ideas from it. But it's about this idea of embracing authenticity, especially in today's world where everything is digital, everything is on social media posted, and I think it is very important in today's age. So
agreed
as well. agree. So what even is authenticity, you may ask? Because I feel like I know somewhat of the definition, but it's nice to have an actual professional definition here. So authenticity is people or individuals or a person who strives to align their actions with their core values and beliefs, with the hope of acting in sync with their true selves despite external pressures to social conformity.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's doing things that you feel right inherently. You don't do things for others is how I'd simply put it.
Mm-hmm. But is authenticity always a good thing in that sense? If people are acting exactly in accordance with how they feel or how they believe about something?
That is true. There is too much authenticity where it could get taboo. I know of an example from, I've heard of stories, or I guess a story of someone who is so in tuned with themselves and just what they want and what they want to say and do that it hurts other people around them, and they don't care. They know that it does, but they don't care. I mean, that is authentic, but to a point, is that just harming others and selfish? So there's that line.
Yeah. And if you're being like authentically homophobic or something, it's like how much should we be encouraging authenticity is my question, because there are certain social norms and regulations that keep others safe in some ways, and without those in place and everyone's just being their most authentic unadulterated selves, you know, I don't know where that can lead.
Because everyone has their own sense of what's right and wrong, too. Mm-hmm. So it is really hard to draw the line with how authentic you can be. Because, I mean, yeah, to live in society and to work with others, you have to give some of yourself away and be selfless. And being authentic could be being a selfish person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking all the food and to your own community, you know, for going back to the Stone Age or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Definitely.
But I think on the good side of authenticity, the part that I more thought about, the more stereotypical part, is just doing things in more modern age of following what you want to do, being with who you want to be, dressing how you want to dress, the more physical aspect. So there's that part. But there's also the part where you just, as a person, you are imperfect. You know, like, you're not afraid to be vulnerable. You share your fears, shortcomings, failures, because there's some people who, you know, they're great on paper. I mean, I have a friend who's awesome, but she's just so perfect, and she just never shows that she has any flaws or failures that I'm like, sometimes it's a little dislikable that if you're too perfect, and maybe that's coming from a sense of not revealing more vulnerable things about yourself, like failure, because I feel like we all share connection and things like that in failures.
Yeah, and I used to have friends who were very similar to that. Like, it almost felt like it was a competition between them about who's doing the best in life, and I was just the little side act of, like, here's everything that went wrong this week. And, like, they're always like, oh, like, you're so silly. But then at a certain point, you start to feel, like, kind of alone because they're not
giving back,
giving, like, any sense of emotional depth other than, oh, like, I'm so happy that I got into this university, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, just talking about personal accomplishments.
Like, I feel like it would have been more authentic, for example, that if to be like, oh, I got rejected from 3 universities, but here's the one that I got into, kind of thing. But maybe there are people who just didn't get rejected from all those.
Yeah, maybe they didn't. Maybe they are perfect, and that is their authentic self.
Just completely perfect. Anyways.
Perhaps
about that. So, authenticity, I feel like I've been trying to grow authenticity my whole life. It's hard. As we know, everything is hard. And there's always a lot of other factors that come into play. I mean, for one, people pleasing is a big one,
I think,
for me, for women in general. There's this, you know, more, not stereotype, but more expectation that women are supposed to be selfless and do things for other, you know, listen to what the man wants to do, what the man wants to share with his hobbies, you know, things like that. Yeah. And with authenticity, I feel like it's hard for women because it also goes against what they're expected to do. I mean, to not say, to not speak up, for example, or say no, is harder. And that's just my perspective, but I feel like a lot of other women and girls share that as well.
Yeah.
Not sure about you.
Yeah, for me, I feel like it's difficult to disentangle, like, what is conditioned and what I actually want, because I do not want to be, like, a bother to anyone. Mm-hmm. But I also am like, maybe I should try to go against that instinct and, like, bother people by saying or doing things that I would normally keep in. But then, like, I don't know, I've heard of this, like, women online, I've just seen this trend of people, like, be annoying, like, be as annoying as you possibly can.
I haven't seen that, but...
And, like, that's a form of, like, resistance to the patriarchy, I guess, which is an interesting take, because I guess when women take up space in a big way, that's seen as annoying a lot of the time, and I think a lot of people fear being labeled as that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's hard to know, like, what I truly want and what I feel is, you know, the right social thing to do. Because sometimes when other people are, like, you know, being too in charge of everything or, like, saying exactly what they want, that can be a bit irritating to, like, a group as well, if not everyone's doing that and they just kind of, like, take over.
To a certain degree, I feel like assertiveness is looked down upon. Mm-hmm. For women, but in conversation too, you know, there's a big group of people, guys, girls, and then when the guy's really outspoken, it's okay, you know, he's just dominating the conversation. That's just what men
but
are supposed
I do
to
find
do.
That annoying as well.
I find it annoying too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you want to speak up and you want to say something, it's looked as that you're the annoying girl. Mm-hmm. Versus just an annoying, you know, an annoying guy versus an annoying girl. I feel like the girl's just more, like, you know, how am I going to phrase this? Not looked down, I mean, looked down upon, but just, it's more taboo.
Yeah, and more invisibilized, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to talk over you more and, like...
And talk behind your back, being like, oh, this girl, she talks so much, over-talkative.
Yeah.
Things like that. But, I mean, this people-pleasing tendency does come from a desire from all of us to fit in, you know, and be accepted by, you know, the people around us. Because if you're the one who just constantly butts in the conversation, says what you want to say, it's not going to go well all the time.
Yeah.
And really, this can also come back down to the Stone Age, back to when we're all with sticks and stones. And with
the
little
good old days,
people. Good old days, the good old Stone Age. When really to be a part of a social group was a form of, you know, reproductive success, and it enhanced your survival. And so these traits grew up with us, and they're still with us today. And so there's always this urge to just minimize yourself or don't say what you really want to say.
Yeah. And that is also emphasized within the culture that we're in. So there are certain social roles that are expected out of men and women, like we kind of alluded to before. But just to make it more explicit is that when you move out of your social role as a woman being more submissive or like welcoming to other people dominating the conversation, then that's looked down upon more so because of your state or stance as a woman, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And with even appearance-wise, that comes down to that. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. Woman wants to shave her head.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, what? Why would you cut your long hair?
Your
you know,
long,
why didn't
beautiful
you?
Beautiful locks.
Yeah. Your yeah. long hair. Like, oh, one of my childhood best friends, she cut her hair to her shoulders, and her dad and her boyfriend were like, no, you shouldn't have done that. You should have kept it long.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Why shouldn't she just do what she wants to do to her own hair? But no, it has to please other people. So I'm glad that she did it. But just things like that I feel like with appearance-wise are also more scrutinized.
Yeah, but also like something I've been noticing lately, and maybe this is going slightly off topic, but it's still kind of on the same strand, is that women do have, I would say, like, a more full ability to express themselves in terms of their gender. Like, you know, we can wear pants, we can wear skirts, we can dress masculine, feminine, and obviously sometimes it will be scrutinized, but it is way more socially acceptable for us to present our fashion style or even ourselves as more masculine versus men to present as feminine. Like, they have such a small socially acceptable range of like gender expression.
And makeup too.
And makeup, like, instantly you're just labeled as gay.
Yeah.
And in like a negative way a lot of the time, which is a whole other issue to unpack, because obviously there's nothing wrong with being gay, but if men want to wear anything other than like pants or shorts and like a t-shirt, it's definitely questioned and scrutinized a lot more than for women. So that's just another thing to think about, like, can men truly be authentic to themselves if they have such a limited way to express themselves that's at least socially acceptable? And I know I've seen more and more men, like, on the street and stuff, you know, taking different routes of self-expression that are a bit more feminine, or maybe they're wearing some makeup, and like that's cool, because like guys are painting their nails now and maybe sometimes wearing eyeliner, which is awesome. But it's,
and the earrings
yeah,
are not
earrings.
As but I feel like the earrings are definitely catching on now too.
Yeah, so like that's honestly really nice to see, because when people repress a side of themselves, they often can project like it onto other people. Like, for example, if they're repressing femininity, then I think they might see it as more negative in other people, and especially in women or gay men as well. So like letting people express themselves fully will probably result in better intergroup dynamics, I would hope.
Yeah, there's definitely both sides of the coin. Everyone has their own struggles. We all struggle with authenticity. And yeah, I think the dressing style, yeah, we've gone so far with it, but we have so much farther to go. I mean, there's lots of issues in the world, and we're trying to chip away at them. But I think, especially with women dressing more masculine. That's totally right. Like, I feel like when I see lots of women who dress more baggy, mm-hmm. you know, just like dude, and no one says anything.
Yeah, like it's pretty normal. And I think maybe grandparents will be like, oh, why are you wearing that? Yeah. Like, why do you look like a guy? But in our generation, I don't think people are really going to criticize that.
I mean, yeah, for me in high school, because I wore a lot of baggy stuff, like I basically dressed like a dude. And I did have a lot of people, like, I guess I heard after high school being like, oh, yeah, she's gay. Or she, like, just weird kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like you can never let go of it. There will always be people out there who, even though, you know, it's more normalized, especially on social media, like dress baggy, dress this, there's still people who will always say something if you don't do what is the traditional outfit, traditional look to you.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't conform to the to the gender norms.
So yeah, that's the more people pleasing on the appearance side. I think for personality too, there's a lot of people pleasing, as we mentioned before, because this whole submissive, you know, girls keep your opinion down, and it's hard to break out of. We've mentioned also before, even speaking up in class and raising your hand. I mean, I feel like my heart's racing whenever I try to ask anything in class.
Mm-hmm. And I think a big thing with people pleasing is when people avoid like criticizing something that somebody else said that was wrong or like racist or sexist or homophobic just casually. Like, I think people have a really hard time saying like, hey, like, you probably shouldn't say that. And that's a form of people pleasing that can be really harmful and just
Not saying anything.
Yeah, like not saying anything. But I have noticed when I do say things, I feel like maybe this is just my perception of it, but I do feel like I am put into like a certain trope of like being a woman. Like, it's kind of like, oh,
she's
sensitive, like, or, you know, like, or she's a feminist, you know, like they kind of like box you in a way to like discredit your opinion and therefore ensure that their opinion was actually okay to say.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's totally another thing that's, you know, a bit discouraging when you like try to call someone out and then like, okay, whatever, like it's not that deep. And then it's like, okay, like, sure, it's not that deep, but like you are perpetuating some pretty messed up things. So that's just like another thing that I struggle with, at least.
Yeah.
It's like saying, like just saying like, oh, hey, that was wrong in a way that's, you know, like
nice but firm.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah. And not be like, you know,
not be like
hysterical about it. So yeah,
even that word hysterical.
That's what I mean, like that's like a trope, is like, okay,
hysterical woman. I think what was the origin,
oversensitive, like, emotional, like any of this can be used.
Yeah, because the origin came from it was Latin derivative.
I think it was like
the uterus.
Greek or Latin means the uterus. Yeah.
I think doctors believed that women were experiencing like these symptoms of hysteria because it was all from their uterus acting up. And so that's why we label women now, you know, as hysterical. And I don't like saying that.
Me neither.
Avoid. And even just calling, being like, oh, you're such a like the P word kind of thing. I don't know if I can't say it on the radio.
Keyword.
I don't know if I can spell it.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You know?
I was, like, just running through, like, only, like, three words in my head.
But, you know, just referring someone as, like,
as weak.
As this, it's, like, weak. And it's, like, you're using a woman's body part to explain that. And I don't even know where I'm going off of right now. But
a lot of our
don't
language
like that
is really misogynistic.
Exactly.
It's true. A lot of our insults are, like, based on your mother versus like you as a man, or like based, like there's so many varieties of ways to call a woman like a bad name who is like promiscuous. But you know,
men,
it's just like for men there's not much unless you like use the same word that's used for a woman and put man in front of it, you know. Like, doesn't really hit the same.
No. But yeah, back to the authenticity, to tie it back.
To tie it back.
We're trying to have more assertive conversations. You know, say what you want. I want to say, you know, speak up when someone says something. And even though you may hurt someone's feelings, because I feel like avoiding conflict is something that we all try to do, or at least most of us try to do. And it will always stir uncomfortable feelings by addressing something that, you know, people normally don't address, or saying something that you normally wouldn't say. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it just tells you who likes you more and who you should get out of your life, kind of
thing.
Yeah,
that's true. It's like a purifying effect.
Yeah. But I mean, if everyone's fully authentic, then we'd all be little pods of different groups that are kind of more extreme. Then couldn't it get to that point if we're not all trying to be, you know, happy-go-lucky, hold hands?
Yeah, perhaps.
So
that's the worry.
That's the line as well.
Mm-hmm.
Too authentic.
Too authentic.
But there are other things other than people-pleasing. I feel like, I mean, it goes into and ties into this last one, the people-pleasing, but to protect us from bad feelings, you know? Because being authentic and saying what you want to say, or being vulnerable, or being like, I failed this test, I didn't get into my dream university, I crashed my car, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You
everyone
know,
I crashed my car. Like,
you know,
so authentic. Yes, girl.
So usually people, they want to hold in onto these because they think, oh, the other person's going to judge me when I say this, and I'm going to feel embarrassed, I'm going to be shamed, you know, I'm being vulnerable right now. But truly, the other person will not think like that. When I hear someone open up to me or say something that's, you know, like something that they failed on, for example, I'm like, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because most of the time I'm feeling the same way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it really helps with, like, acknowledging the universality of the human experience.
Yep.
Well, because I think a lot of things are just under the surface for most people. And a lot of people do feel like, am I depressed? Like, what is this feeling? And, you know, people don't really talk about death or dying, or like,
yeah,
that they're scared of dying. And we're just kind of all living this, our little lives for like day by day. But yeah, I just feel like there's a lot that's underneath the surface that we all feel, but nobody really talks about, because sometimes it feels like there's nothing you can do about it. But the act of just putting it out in the world, like, honestly feels better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like both with people,
the majority of the thoughts too, I mean, day to day, I'm like, oh, do other people feel like this? And I'll look it up on Reddit, it's like 2 billion people have felt the same. I'm like, oh, okay, not special here. But
yeah, like,
I mean,
everyone on Reddit, like, they already know.
Like, and especially with just the people posting, it's like, look at all these people who are just viewing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to think of it on a social media platform that so many people are feeling the same way without looking at their faces or interacting them in real life. And I feel like sometimes it's nice not to be special and to share
definitely
all these similar feelings, because I'm like, oh, I feel insecure, but look, nearly everyone feels insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really that bad? And it kind of, you know, yeah, opens your eyes up.
Yeah, it makes you feel less alone, but it can also make you feel more angry sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're like, what? This is a universal experience? Like, how is this allowed? This is not okay. But at least people are talking about it. That's the beginning of taking action.
Yeah, and I think social media is a great vessel for this, because people are now posting more things about mental health. I think that is something that actually is great about social media, is that, you know, I mean, there's to agree, some people are just putting too much on social media, but the ones that are opening up about their struggles and like mental health disorders and things like that. For example, my mom, she was looking through social media posts, and she is slowly starting to relate more and more with ASD, like autism spectrum disorder, and especially how underdiagnosed it is in women. And now with this online platform on social media, you can now hear everyone's perspective and people being like, oh, I felt like that. And I think that is a very good aspect of social media that can help channel this collective struggle. And I mean, I think my mom feels more authentic now and more in tune with herself, because she had this whole sense of relief being like, oh my gosh, you know, mm-hmm. this makes sense. This totally makes sense. And everyone is feeling like this. And that is something that I feel like is a good example.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it can really reduce taboo and make people who do have autism, like, feel, or like autism or ADHD or any type of you know, mental disorder, like, condition make them feel like more a part of their community, but it can also spread like a lot of misinformation about like mental disorders and stuff.
That is true.
So it's
on the other
hand. It's on the other, hand.
Like
you,
usual. Like,
you have to be like pretty careful, because I think I don't think I have ADHD. But for a while, like, I was seeing videos, and I was like, oh, that's so me. Like, it's really hard to focus sometimes. But I'm like, there's so many other factors that go into it. And a lot of the times it has to be, like, interfering with your daily functioning. And if you're still doing decently well and, like, it's not that much of a struggle, I think it is, you know, you can blame that on, like, the algorithms and, like, having a short attention span because of them. But... Yeah, that's kind of another topic about, like,
the
pros and cons of social media, because every video that's, like, opening up about mental health, there's, like, another video that is, like, wow, there's nothing wrong in my life, and I'm traveling for free, and...
Being sponsored,
and, like, everything's great, and I'm super skinny, and everyone look at me, and then it's, like, another video is gonna be, like... This is, we have to, like, normalize living a normal life again. And then, like, you know, just, like, back and forth and back and forth. And it's, like, does not feel like anything's genuinely productive.
Yeah, it's, like, people are editing their photos more and more. The apps, the AI is getting even more real. And then on the other side, there's people being like, oh, here, look, my stomach's out.
Yeah.
Look, I have belly fat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, what am I supposed to believe right now? I don't know. Too much is going on.
My unedited body. And then sometimes it just, like, looks the exact same. It's like, okay, thanks for normalizing
feel better
that.
About that.
Yeah.
You look the same.
Yeah, it's like a little ping pong match that's no one's ever really gonna win at. But yeah, another reason, at least for me, as to why I'm not authentic, or why I assume others might not be authentic, is that there are certain social roles and norms that you need to adhere to, like, for example, being a daughter, being an older sister, or a granddaughter, or a girlfriend, or like any of these roles where you feel like there are certain things you can talk about and certain things you cannot talk about, can limit how truthful, I guess, you can be.
Yeah, or limiting parts of yourself. Or just kind of withhold, or just suppressing it a bit.
Yeah.
In a way.
Because, like, as an older sister for me, like, you know, for a while at least when my sister was younger, like, I can't be telling her about some of the more reckless things I was doing, because, you know, that's not a good influence, and I can't be fully transparent with her because she's younger than me and she will take her time to lead up to those experiences, but I don't want to, like, influence her to do something. And being a granddaughter, even less so what you can say about, like, how you actually live your life.
Yeah, my grandparents only know about a quarter of my life, I think.
Quarter?
We get a little quarter.
A little quarter in here.
Like, I'm like, oh, I've got a good mark on my test. And they're like, nice.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, no, I totally didn't get drunk at the bar and...
No.
Pass out? No. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. Anyways.
No, definitely did not happen.
But yeah, no, totally with the social roles. I feel like, you know, lately I've been more myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have a feeling that I just feel more myself. But it was like I've been on this kind of pendulum of too much faking it, but then too much grunge. I don't know how to explain it. Like, one side was like, oh, this will please my grandparents, the way I look and dress, and I have long hair and I wear, you know, gold jewelry. I don't know how to explain it, but that kind of vibe. And then
the persona,
and then it completely did a 180 in high school, where I just wore baggiest jeans possible, you know, had deep eyeliner, bangs, everything. It was just black nail polish, not the bangs. But now I feel like I've gotten to this point where I've merged both of those personalities into one. And there's sometimes, you know, like, for example, like, seeing in a previous relationship, like, me feeling like I have to be more feminine, and to please also the social circle of the other person. because they're like, oh, this is what this person